Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So first of all, before we go any farther, I found a rosary in the cafeteria. Does anybody, does this belong to anybody?
Black.
I get to keep it in a couple of minutes. It's a beautiful gold rosary.
Oh,
it's wow. Over.
Oh,
no, it's mine now.
There it comes.
Hey, you brought some. Hurry up.
Is this yours?
I
took it out of your pocket while you weren't looking.
There you go.
Okay, so we're going to continue, okay? This is so important that we get to know our Blessed Mother. Jesus says, or Luisa says, after this I continue to think about the divine will. And that's one of the things that happens. Our whole focus becomes on focusing on this great gift of the divine will. If this is true, then we have to give our life for this. If it's not true, we have to get very, very far away from it. Now, what happened in Corrado in 2005 was the Archbishop and the whole diocese concluded their 9-year investigation of Luisa and presented to the Vatican the statement, "We believe Luisa should be canonized." And they gave it to the Vatican. Now, at the Vatican, they went through it, and they said, "This is wonderful." And somebody says, "Well, Luisa says you don't have to go to Holy Mass." So they said, "Wait a minute." So they stopped, and they went through it again, the second time. And they said, "This is wonderful." And then they said, "But Luisa says you don't have to pray the rosary." So they go, "All right, we got to." So they stopped again, and they read it a third time. And they said, "This is magnificent." Then they're ready to do what they were doing. Then somebody says, "Well, Luisa says that," and again, something that's crazy. And they said, "We got to investigate this again." But the wonderful thing is every time they read this, every time they study this, more and more theologians are embracing it. So I was talking to a sister here earlier. She's from, her community is from Rome. They love Luisa in Rome. Luisa is, there's huge communities in Rome who read Luisa and love Luisa because they know what's coming. It's a new era that's coming that's going to be so beautiful. Jesus teaches Luisa how to begin to live this life. So here Luisa says, After this, I continue to think about the divine will. And this is what we do. We're thinking about this. We're studying it. We're being absorbed into it. Jesus, every time you read, Jesus says, "I expand your capacity to understand this." So again, this is so glorious what God is doing. Jesus says, or Luisa says, "The thought that my celestial mama possessed in her maternal heart of the hidden love of God with which the God created me filled me with great joy. And so to think that I was looked at by God from within my dear celestial mother, I was looked at by God through her sanctity. I was looked at by God by her enrapturing beauty. Oh, how happy I felt, and all trusting, because I would not be loved and looked at by myself anymore, but loved and looked at together with my Mama Mary." Because that's what we have to understand too. We are not separated from Jesus and Mary. And, you know, this. Jesus is showing us we're right with his mother. We're right with him. "Ah, Our Lady, in order to make me loved even more by my Jesus, will cover me with her virtues. Our Lady will dress me with her beauty. Our Lady will hide my miseries and all my weaknesses. But a thought wanted to afflict my joy, and that our Lord did this as long as the Queen of Heaven lived on earth. But when Jesus brought her to himself in heaven, this invitation of love ended." And Jesus returns to Luisa and says, "My blessed daughter, our divine work always continues and are inseparable from us, such that our hidden love continues in the Queen of Heaven, and it will always continue. It would not be to operate as a God if all we did was to separate us and not have perennial life. Therefore, we triune God love. We triune God pour ourselves out over creatures. It seems that our love departs from us, but no, it departs and it remains with us. The love that pours itself over souls is inseparable from us and renders inseparable Mary, who has received our love, such that all of our works, heaven and earth, creatures who come forth into the day of light, it seems that they depart from us, but no, they are all inseparable from us. And this is in virtue of our divine immensity that envelops everything. There is no place where it is not found. It renders everything that we do inseparable. Therefore, neither can our work be separated from us, triune God, nor we from them. One can say that they form a single body for us, and our immensity and our power is like the circulation of blood that maintains life for everything and for everyone. At the most, there can be works distinct from one another, but separate, never. So here Jesus is showing us, he wants us to be aware that we are inseparable from Jesus and Mary. We're inseparable from the triune God. And therefore, God is going to give us the means to understand this and live this as we draw closer to Louisa. So that's why this Book of Heaven is so beautiful. As you read it, as you study it, as you put it into practice, all you have is happiness. All you have is joy. This is a gift that God has waited to give to mankind since Adam fell. And now God wants to give it to us. That's why we're here, to give us the opportunity to grow in this knowledge, grow in this life of Jesus and Mary. On hearing this, Louisa said, marveling to myself, I said, and yet, my love, there are reprobates already separated from you. They too are works come forth from you. How is it, therefore, that they do not pertain to you anymore? How can people be so separated from Jesus when they came from him? And Jesus says, you are mistaken, my daughter. They do not pertain to me by way of love, but by way of justice. So again, that's why Jesus says, we are in a time of mercy, but the time of mercy is going to end, and then the time of justice endures. The time of justice is basically everybody gets what they deserve. Okay, now, people talked about the illumination of conscience earlier. When this happens, you're going to experience yourself as sin, as sinners. God alone is holy, God alone is good, God alone is righteous. And we are creatures, we are sinners. And when we stand before God, when God shows us who we are in front of him, it's going to be very difficult. We're going to understand every thought, every word, every deed that we did, how it offended God and offended souls. Okay? When you got angry with somebody, I'm talking about the negative, not the positive. When you got angry with somebody and you maybe have said something loud or even violent, that person was affected, and that person affected other people. And it was like throwing a stone into a pond. The rings affected everything. Affects the whole world. There's no such thing as a private sin. So when we stand before God, we're going to see our impatience. We're going to see our anger. We're going to see our ingratitude. How it affected everybody. And again, it's our human inadequacies. It's basically how we were raised, because our parents were not loved perfectly. Because their parents weren't loved perfectly. It goes always all the way back to Adam. And Jesus is going to show us that he is calling us to perfection, yet how far we fall. Our job is to really begin to live a life of love. A love of peace, a love of joy, a love of happiness. To exit the misery of the world, the flesh, and the devil, to enter into the love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. See, our negativity sometimes just saying, looking at somebody the wrong way, you know, if they have been hurt or wounded, sometimes just, you know, the wrong look that we give to someone, not even intentionally, hurt them because of the woundedness of everybody. So when this happens, when God shows us our human inadequacies, it shows us the life we've lived, how we thought, spoke, and what we did. What's going to happen is we're going to be greatly humiliated, greatly offended by what we have done to people. Most people, when they go to confession, they talk about somebody else. You know what they did? They know what they did. You know what their spouse did? You know what they did. Confession is, you know, you. What did you do? What are your sins? And again, when you go to confession, there's three things that you must do. It's the three B's: be blunt, be brief, be gone. You know, you're there not to talk and share. You're there to, these are my sins. Please be blessed, be Father. So the next person get in and be blunt, be brief, be gone. I've talked to people and I've known situations, and they tell me back what they remember. And it's nothing like the truth. You know, I mean, I've listened to some people who I know, I mean, and they were saints. And everything that they did has been absolved. And they cannot remember anything that they have done to hurt people. God is going to show that to us at the time of illumination of conscience. And man, oh, I mean, it's going to be awful. And people will die of fright of the sin that they have committed. I mean, sin is so awful. And that's why Jesus, this is the justice of God. I remember once a long time ago, I said to God, you know, let the illumination of conscience happen. Let it happen. Let it happen. And Jesus said two things to me. Number one, you don't know what you're praying for. And number two, can you endure it? And I went, don't let it come. Don't let it come. Don't let it. Because he was really severe. I mean, he says, you don't know what you're praying for. And will you be able to... See, it's fire. I mean, will you be able to endure this? What's coming is... There will be a lot of people that won't make it through. That's how bad it'll be. They have turned away from God for so much that the justice of God is they won't be able to endure, you know, what they have done. So we pray for them. We pray for ourselves. We pray for everybody. We pray for our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers. You know, every family has all the sins of all the world in our extended family. All the sins are going on. There's no family that's immune to what's happening. And the final two plagues in Revelation is the drugs and homosexuality. Those are the final two plagues. And that's what our state, United States of America, is doing. You know, under the you know, giving drugs out as normal, as having marriage under any condition is normal. We're in trouble. We're really in trouble, and we have to be punished. I mean, we've killed 60 million babies, basically. You know, that's a low estimate. Communism in Russia killed 60 million. Communism in China killed 60 million. Nazism killed 60 million. And atheism in the United States has killed 60 million. The devil is getting his way. And, you know, if people, somebody called me and they had a beautiful insurance policy and their company went under and they don't have any insurance, and they said, I never voted for this guy. You know, why is this happening to me? I said, we're all being punished. It doesn't matter if you voted for anybody or not. We're in a country that's killing 60 million babies. I mean, that's a low estimate. We're going to be punished. So our job is to help everybody. Our job is to get everything ready. When everything starts hitting the fan, and it's really going to hit the fan, when that happens, we will be able to say fiat amid the suffering, amid the difficulties. Everybody else, like at Medjugorje, I remember there in the 80s, and a young boy committed suicide, a teenager, and they asked Our Lady why, and Our Lady said, he didn't have me or my son. And she said all he had left was suicide. And that's what's happened. If we don't have Jesus and Mary, all that's left is that which is away from God. So again, what are they about these souls that are going away? So here Jesus explains this. They do not pertain to me by way of love, but by the way of divine justice. My immensity that envelops these souls has its power over them. And if they did not pertain to me, my punitive justice would not have asked what to punish, because things would not pertain to me. But in that instant, they lose life. And if the life exists, there is the one who conserves it and who justly punishes the soul. Therefore, in heaven, the sovereign lady still possesses our hidden love towards every soul. Rather, it is Our Lady's greatest triumph and contentment that Our Lady feels all creatures loved by her Creator in her maternal heart. And Our Lady, acting as true mother, how many times she hides them from me in her love in order to make them loved, in her sorrows in order to make them be forgiven, in her prayers in order to make the greatest graces be given to them. Ah, Our Lady is the covering who knows how to cover and excuse her children before the throne of our divine majesty. Therefore, let yourself be covered by your celestial mother, who will think about the needs of her little child. So again, Our Lady said that. She says, the salvation of souls is in your hands. Okay, what is in our hands? It's the Holy Rosary, hopefully. St. Louis de Montfort said it's the Holy Rosary and the Holy Cross. The cross in one hand, the rosary in the other. What is in our hands? It's to pray for souls. Now, as you start to pray in the divine will, in the rounds, you're going to bring souls out of such misery that you're going to take them out of the hands of Lucifer. This is what God, Jesus says. People come up to me and they go, what about my family? What about my family? What about them? Jesus said this to Louisa, you do what I want, and I'll do what you want. I'm not worried about my family. Most of my family wants nothing to do with the divine will. And it doesn't matter how I try to explain it to them. They do not want it. So I say to God, you know, I tried. If you need to use a 2x4 in the back of their heads, it's fine with me. God is going to take care of them. But you see, this is the gift of gifts. This is the prodigy of prodigies. This is the mission of missions, the apostle of apostolates. This is to begin to pray like Jesus and Mary prays. There will be souls, and they're good souls, holy souls, souls that go to Holy Mass every day, souls that pray the rosary every day, souls that wear the scapular, souls that are faithful and obedient to Christ and His Church, the dogma and doctrine of faith, that do not want this gift. That's fine. See, Jesus says, He says, I want to give it to everyone, but I will not force them to take it. To take it is just to say fiat. See, Jesus says, your human will is a rusty penny. I told you this yesterday. I want to give you billions of dollars if you just give me the rusty penny. And we say, well, if I give you the rusty penny, I won't have it anymore. God goes, that's right. I'm going to fill you with everything, because then you're no longer in your misery. But most people, unfortunately, even good holy souls, can't say yes. And I can't figure that out. I just can't figure that. Some of my priest friends, they're brilliant. They're theologians, and I can't get it through to them how beautiful this is. I just don't understand it. I can't figure that one out. But God is going to take care of them. And see, Jesus said this. Most people cannot embrace this because their human will is so strong that they can't say fiat. They can't say yes to God. I'm going to build this church. I'm going to build this monastery. I'm going to start this convent. And like this one nun said to me in St. Louis. She says, I do not believe in the divine will. And I go, why? And she says, if it is true, then I wasted my life in this convent. And I went, Yeah, but God wants to give you everything. So what if you wasted? I wasted my life. But this is everything. And she says, I can't believe it. I can't believe that I've wasted my life. And I'm going, how selfish, how self-centered is this person that God says, I want to fill you with billions. And you go, no, my misery is what I worked for. This is my life. And that's where she was. I hope that was about 20 years ago. I hope she's changed, but I doubt it. Most people don't change. I remember this one lady in our prayer group left in a huff. And she joined a convent, contemplative convent. And she got in the convent. And I waited 20 years to talk to her. And I called her and I said, what do you think? She hadn't changed a bit. And I went, I thought for sure 20 years in a convent would soften her understanding. But it didn't. She was just as hard as a rock as she was from the beginning. Some people just can't change. See, God looks for the fiat. All God looks for is, will you please just say yes so I can give it to you? And we're standing there going, nope, 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 not going to take it, not going to take it, nope, nope. And it's so sad for the Lord. So let's continue. Volume 33, April 12, 1935. I continued my round in the divine will. See, that's what we're going to learn. We're going to learn how to pray the round. And arriving at the Immaculate Conception, my sweet Jesus stopped me, telling me, my daughter, I want to let you penetrate even more within the Immaculate Conception of my most holy mother, all her prodigies, and how Our Lady loved her God, and how for our love she loved all her children. Now, look what's happening here. She arrived at the moment of the Immaculate Conception in Israel. See, that's what I'm talking about. This bilocation. God will take you places that you've never been before. And it's going to astonish you because you're going to be... I remember, what was it? We were praying once and... We were right at Capernaum, and I'm leading the prayer, and I said, everybody close your eyes, let Jesus take us where He wants to take us, and I'm right there on the beach, and there's Jesus standing with the apostles, and I'm going, whoa, I look like this, and Jesus goes like this to me, come here, and I ran that way as fast as I could, and then I'm back here, you know, and I said, oh. You know, I'm being stupid. I'm being silly. You know, I'm just, my mind is going. So I said, let's go back to where we were, you know, get back there, right back there. And I'm telling you, you could smell the beach. You could, the sand was there, the sun. And there's Jesus. And now He's really ticked at me. And He goes, get over here. And I went that way again. I ran. And I said, oh, that was really nice. Let's not do that again. You know, it's, let God take you where He wants to take you. A friend of mine, when he was praying, he was face down on the floor, and he raises up his head, and there's Jesus' feet and sandals right in front of him. And I said, what did you do? He says, I ran as fast as I could. I said, you're just like me. I said, I'm scared to death. But it's, God wants us to enter into this. It's to begin to pray in a way that you are actually with Jesus. You're actually with Mary. Here's Louisa. She arrived at the moment of the Immaculate Conception. I mean, God loves us so much that He wants us to be with Him. He wants us to be with His mother. And so it's not just praying. When you pray the rosary, I mean, you know, the luminous mysteries, I mean, you can be on Mount Tabor with Jesus. Honest to goodness. And it's not just Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord Jesus, and Jesus, and heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord Jesus, and heaven. It's you enter into this life. I mean, you enter into this time and space with Jesus and Mary. That's the thing that's going to astonish you. As you start praying the rounds, and I mean, don't think, well, God's going to do this, God's going to do that. You just start praying the rounds, and heaven begins to come to you in a way that. Like I prayed with the monks in Pittsburgh a month ago, and while we were praying, it's the Trappist they were going,
Lord, help us, Lord. We need your help, O Lord. Help us, Lord, help.
And I'm praying, I'm going, I feel like a Jew before Jesus comes. Like we're pleading for the Messiah, please come and help us. Then I pray the rounds, and it's, I adore you, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I worship you, I glorify you in the name of everyone. And it's two completely different things. I love the prayers of the monks, but when you begin to pray the rounds, you really begin to live heaven. Yeah, that's the thing that will astonish you. He has to prove to the devil that he wins. He has to show the devil that he wins. And he says, basically, the thing that he's going to do is give us the Book of Heaven through Louisa so that we will be able to get through these most difficult times. We will be protected. Just think of Our Lady of Loretto, the House of Loretto. You know, that was in Nazareth. And everybody lived in a cave, and they had their little house in front, you know, the entrance way. But they lived in caves in Nazareth. I mean, I happened to get into the cave where Jesus and Mary and Joseph lived. Now, that was a story that I won't tell you. But no, as a matter of fact, when I was in Nazareth, I stopped the bus, and I said, I have to get something. And I get off the bus. And I go to the store, and I come back on the bus. I said, it's not in here. I got to go to the next door. So I go to the next door. Come back, and they're beeping the horn. You know, come on, we got to get going. So finally, I found what I had. So I came in. And they said, why did you make us wait? I said, I've got the greatest gift in Israel. And they go, what? I said, cheeses of Nazareth. I got some cheeses of Nazareth. So anyways, they wanted to kill me. But I did. I brought it home. In my refrigerator, I've got all these different cheeses of Nazareth. I hope the Lord doesn't punish me, but I just thought it was kind of cute. Okay. The little queen in her act of being conceived, being her life together with the divine will, and therefore together with her God. See, that's what's going to happen. As we begin to live this life of the divine will, we're one with Jesus, we're one with Mary, we're one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. She felt all the strength, all the immensity, all the ardor of our divine love. And it was such, so much that Our Lady herself felt lost. She felt drowned by such love in that she did not know how to do anything other than love God who loved her so much. Now think about this. Jesus says the 36 volumes is Louisa exiting the ocean of the divine will, and it's the drips of water that are coming off her body. That's what we're reading. Jesus says that he wants us to hang on to Louisa and dive into the ocean of the infinite ocean of the divine will. And then he says, I want you to drown in this love. I want love inside and outside of you. I never want you to leave. So when we read the volumes, it's not, well, I'm going to read this and I have. It's just the beginning of a life that our God wants us to live. And that's what you see. Our Lady felt all the strength, all the immensity, all the ardor of divine love, and it was so much that she felt herself lost, drowned by such love, that she did not know how to do anything other than to love God who loved her so much. See, we're going to participate in this love. You're going to see God. You're going to hear God. You're going to smell God. You're going to taste God. You're going to touch God. That's why our senses were made. And when we fell, we've been lost. We have no idea how to use our senses. Yet Jesus says in the last chapter of volume 36, he tells us that this life of God is going to come back to man. So we're not talking about a saintly life, a good life, or a holy life. We're talking about the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, that we're going to possess. Remember, Jesus and Mary have a glorified body. It's not like the saints. The saints are spirits in heaven. And St. Thomas Aquinas says that we need a body and a soul to live as children of God. God is going to do something. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be so glorious that everyone will want to be Catholic. Every church, every monastery, every chapel, every mosque, every temple will be Catholic. You know, what we're going to experience is the love of God in a way that Adam possessed it. But even more, because Jesus is the new Adam, Mary is the new Eve. So Jesus says, God himself felt love so much so, even to giving his holy divine will to Mary's power, to have the divine will as her own life. It can be called the greatest love of God, the most heroic love of God, the love that alone can say, I have no more to give you. I have given you everything. That's our God. He's going to fill us with divinity. Not just a saintly life, not just a good life, not just a holy life. And the little queen made use of this life in order to love him, for as much as she was able to love, she did not lose an instant without loving God. Our Lady sought to be comparable to him by loving him. Now, our divine will that possessed the all-seeingness of everything hid nothing from the Blessed Mother. It made present to this holy creature all the human generations, each sin that they had committed, and what they would still do. And even from the first instant of her conception, the tiny celestial one, Mary, who knew no other life than that of the divine will, began to be sorrowful with such divine sorrow for each sin of the souls. So much so that Our Lady formed around each sin of theirs an ocean of divine love, an ocean of divine sorrow. So again, who is this woman, Mary? Who is she that we honor, that we crown as queen, that we crown as mother? Jesus is telling us through the book of heaven. My divine will does not know how to do little things. It formed in the Blessed Mother, this beautiful soul, oceans of sorrow, oceans of love for each sin and for every soul. Therefore, the Holy Virgin Mary, even from the first instant of her life, was queen of sorrow, was queen of love, because our holy divine will can do everything. It gave Our Lady such sorrow and such love that if it had not sustained her with its divine power, she would have died for every sin and is many times consumed with love for how many creatures would exist. And our divinity began to have, in virtue of our divine will, the divine sorrow and the divine love for everyone and for each one. Oh, how satisfied we feel, Jesus says, and being repaid for everything in virtue of the divine sorrow and the divine love we found in Mary. We feel inclined now toward everyone. See, when you think of Christ crucified and what he went through, we also have to think of Mary. The two are one. Jesus and Mary are one. Like we mentioned yesterday, when you go to Holy Communion, we receive Mary. Because it's Jesus is body of her body, blood of her blood, bone of her bone. That's the greatest gift. You have to understand that it's always Jesus and Mary. It's never Jesus alone. It's never Mary alone. It's always Jesus and Mary. And this is something that is going to astonish you. St. Louis de Montfort said, to Jesus through Mary. Now Jesus says, to Jesus and Mary through Louisa, the newborn, the firstborn of the divine will. Our Lady's love was so much that ruling over us, triune God, Mary made us love those whom she loved, so much so that as this sublime creature came to light, the eternal word Jesus ran in order to come to speak to man and to save mankind. Who can resist the operating power of our divine will in Mary? And what can Mary not do and obtain for however much she wants? See, everything's been given to the Blessed Mother. She is the queen. She is the mother of God, Theotokos. Everything has been given to her. So when we go to Mary, we can be filled with confidence. When we go to Jesus and Mary, we can be filled in confidence. Now when we go to Jesus and Mary through Louisa, we can be filled with confidence. What God is going to show us, that's why I'm saying these relic cards are so important. I think Eddie's got a couple left. That's it. Anybody who doesn't have a relic card? Okay.
Could we possibly present the Bible as our confession?
I'm sorry?
Can we ever possibly possess the Bible as our confession?
You have to go to confession. And when I go to confession, every person that goes to confession to me, and they say, I'm sorry for this, I'm sorry for that, I'm sorry for this, I'm saying at the same time, I'm sorry in the divine will for all mankind who did this sin, for all mankind who committed that sin. It's what happens when you go to confession is I want to confess for all my brothers and sisters, past, present, and future, who don't go to confession. I want to kneel and say to God, sorrow for the sins that have never been confessed. That's repairing. It's repairing. It's redoing. Now, the reason for that is I want God to hear as if all mankind were praying, even though I'm saying it, that everyone is kneeling down in front of Jesus, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, saying, I'm sorry for my sins. It's not just me. See, it's not for me to become a saint. It's to do everything in the divine will, to pray in the divine will, to go to confession in the divine will, to receive Holy... When I receive Holy Communion, I receive, as I say, Jesus, as I receive you, as you receive yourself at the Last Supper, I want to receive you in the name of everyone and everything past, present, and future. I am sorry for ever having received in you unworthily or sacrilegiously or indifferently in the name of every human being, past, present, and future. Lord, I want to receive you as if everyone has received you worthily. Everyone has received you in sanctifying grace. Reason is because you, Jesus, want to be received by everyone worthily. So what's happening is there's a repair that's going on. God is redoing something. It's to let God, and where I got that was from Louisa, because that's how Louisa prayed. You know, to pray in the name of everyone and everything as Jesus received Eucharist, as Jesus received himself, so that all mankind receives him worthily. So Jesus says this, oh, if everyone only knew the great good that we, triune God, made to the human generations by giving them this celestial queen, Mary. It was she who prepared the redemption. It was she who conquered her creator. It was she who was the bearer of the eternal word on earth. Oh, everyone would press themselves around Our Lady's maternal knees in order to implore from her that the divine will, that the divine will that she possessed will become their life as well. See, God's got such great things planned for us. And all that he asks of us is that we give our fiat. That's all that he asks. And when we give our fiat, it's wonderful. It's glorious. So we'll end there. I don't see anything else. Any questions at all with anything? Yes.
I don't have a question, but do you have time to tell everyone about the story when you visited the cave of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph? I don't think it was
Well, it wasn't really visiting. When we were in Nazareth, one of the priests dropped his covering to his camera, and it fell down into the cave. And so I jumped down in. So I was yelled at, get out of there! What are you doing down there? But I was looking around. It was really interesting. But that cave, now the reason, this is why Our Lady of Loretto, that building, the front part, is in Loretto. And it stopped, I think, in Greece, it stopped in Yugoslavia, it stopped in another place in Italy, and then it stopped in Loretto, and that's where it is today. Think about this. You know, you hear about these places of refuge. Like Our Lady's House of Loretto, things are going to be changing. You know, your house might not be where your house, if you bless your house, if you, you know, really consecrate your house, God might take your house and put it someplace else. I mean, it's already happened with Our Lady's House of Loretto. And what's coming, there will be places of refuge. There will be places that there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to fear. I'm sorry? Well, rapture, Protestant rapture is not exactly accurate. We have the opposite of Protestant rapture. It's the bad are going to be gone. We're going to get through this. Remember, it happened like in the time of Noah. Noah did not get wet. And fire is coming. We're not going to get burned. Because it's the love of Jesus and Mary. And that's going to be ecstasy for us. It's going to be beautiful. That's why Our Lady said, it'll be good for some, bad for most. You got to speak loudly and clearly.
And I learned a long time that when you make a scene, and especially in one official time in my life, you have
to. You got any questions about the divine will? Anything?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Could you go back and clarify a little bit in your words when you talk about in the Old Testament there was the transfiguration?
Well, Jesus said that. See, the New Testament wasn't complete. It was when Jesus died on the cross. That's when the church was born. So when Jesus says in the Old Testament, the greatest gift I gave to the Old Testament was transfiguration. So which means there's Moses, Jesus, and Elijah. So what Jesus is saying, that was still the Old Testament. It wasn't the completion of the redemption. When redemption happened, then he says that's when the New Testament began. That's why when Peter went out and converted the 5,000, you know, it was after Jesus died.
Father, what I mean is this. When you commit a sin, it's always a scar there. And the Lord, by referring you scar.
I got to have a question. I can't understand. I'm deaf in this ear. I'm half deaf in this ear.
When you commit a sin, you know, you pray and you confess. But since Jesus says that can be a spark for that sin, and you're supposed to repair with your good sins and sacrifice it. But in the divine will, it's totally erased because you.
I don't know what your question is. I'm sorry.
She's saying erasing of sin versus a scar. So she's referring to scars from the past. When you do a confession, there's still, and I've heard this discussed too, that when you have a sin, if you commit adultery with your neighbor and you confess the sin, that doesn't take away the damage and sin.
No.
So she's referring to, and see, I've heard the Catholic answers them talk about this process. It was compared to like a piece of wood,
yes.
A nail on a piece of wood. I think Father Keen refers to that. The sin itself, you're forgiven of, but the damage from the sin has to go through a healing process.
Right. And now what's interesting is this. What John Paul II gave us on Divine Mercy Sunday is if you do the 9-day novena, it says if you are newly baptized. That's unheard of in the church. That is astonishing. And the reason for this is because we're living with such sin today. We're sinning so often today that we need this grace. I know that, everybody is scarred and wounded. But Jesus is going to renew the face of the earth. I mean, it's to be in heaven, this is what's going to happen. Like at the end of Luisa's life, Luisa said to Jesus, I am so sorry for not always living in the divine will. And Jesus said to Luisa at that point, you have always lived in the divine will. Because she has repaired everything. Now that's the same thing for us. We're going to see in a way that we were with God from the beginning of time to the end of time. And he is going to restore us, renew us, recreate us. I don't know how that's going to happen. That's why I'm saying I can't wait for the theologians to study this. You know, they will know things that, you know, that the saints have pointed to. But something glorious is coming. Something wonderful is coming. And our job is to basically read get absorbed into this so that God can teach us. Anything else? We got a couple more minutes. Yes?
I have my own question. You referred to two plagues, drugs and homosexuality. That's in the writings of sin. I'm not familiar with
that. Yeah.
Okay. And I did have one quick comment because I'm a convert. I wanted my father and my mother to convert before they passed away. I prayed a tremendous amount about that. It didn't happen, but there were some powerful graces given. But I've known Catholics that pray the rosary very, very fervently. And at least twice I've heard from people where it took a very, very long time for their children who were away to come back. And they were both given a deep, deep conviction by our Lord that He intentionally caused that to last a long time because their prayers were so fervent and He was applying those prayers to others in the region.
Sure.
So maybe that might be a partial answer to you, to some of these people that theologically you want to be on the same page.
Yeah. Well, again, with Louisa, when her father died, she prayed that he would not go to purgatory. And when her mother died, she says she prayed that she not go to purgatory. And Jesus said, your mother can come in, but your father's going to have to spend time in purgatory. So even Louisa's prayers were not answered because certain souls have to go to purgatory. You know? But Jesus says this. He says, if you live in my divine will, he says, I cannot purge myself. So he says, the souls that live in the divine will not suffer the flames of purgatory. See, the flames of purgatory are the flames of hell, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, but they're not everlasting. It's that's why when people say, all I want to do is get into purgatory, I said, I don't want to even get near that. I don't know.
Another thought on this whole idea is God uses a different way in every instance. You know, he knocked Saul, who became Paul, off of his horse.
Right, right.
And it'd be great for some of us to get that kind of grace. That was a grace.
Yeah.
But it happens slowly with some people, and it happens rapidly with
others. See, what I've seen are the people that say fiat. The people that can say fiat, they move very quickly in the divine will. The people with doubts, they keep saying, I'm not too sure. God just backs off. And every time there's a doubt, God backs off. He can't give freely to anyone who says, well, I'm not too sure about that. God says, fine. That's why in the divine will, in my prayer group, I've had 77 people leave. And that's since 1986. There's about 16 that are still there. But what happens is they get to the point and they go, I just don't want to do this. I have my life. I want to do what I want to do. I want to pray. This one lady says, she said to me, what would I do without you? I said, you'd be a great saint without me. I said, but with me, you'll live in the divine will. And she says, well, I want to be a great saint. And she's a good woman. But she doesn't love the divine will. She doesn't know the divine will. And that's, again, everyone is free to choose what they want. You know. And but again, this gift is wonderful. I think we're going to end there. One more minute. One more question. Any more?
How can you feel that you are living in the divine will? You have to be in complete grace.
I am not living in the divine will. I cannot live in the divine will. Why? I'm in the divine will, then I'm out of the divine will. I'm not fully in the divine will. Because as soon as I worry, I'm out. As soon as I'm angry, I'm out. As soon as I'm complaining, I'm out. As soon as I'm negative, I'm out. And I have to say, I want to come back in. So I want to live in the divine will. But the first one who will live fully in the divine will next to Louisa is a man. You have Adam and Eve. You have Jesus and Mary, you have Louisa and the Pope. He has the keys to the kingdom. In Divine 15, Jesus says to Louisa, you're going to give this gift to the Pope, to the man, who will then open the door and everyone will become Catholic. So I'm hoping that this is Francis. I was hoping it was John Paul II, and I was hoping it was Pope Benedict. I'm just praying it's Francis. Because the sooner this happens, the sooner the kingdom is going to be established. Yeah, so I want to live in the divine will. I try to live in the divine will, but I'm not there.
What did it so long to make Louisa
Well, like I said, we're waiting for her to be named venerable. See, once she's venerable, then all the books come out. And once the books are out, the entire world changes. The entire world is on fire. I can't wait for that day. That's going to be glorious. Okay? So we'll end with a prayer.
Is that the reason with the delay of the books coming out? Waiting for that moment?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So we'll end with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. And may the blood that flowed upon the foot of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy, divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And make sure you get a priest to help you. Thank you.